Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour, time that God has set aside and allow us to come together to fellowship one with another, to explore his word, to hear what the Spirit has to say to us on tonight. And it's an honor and it's a privilege. And we just want to give God thanks for letting us assemble here one more Wednesday night. You're tuned in to Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. I thank God for each and every one of you, because it could have been other things you do or would have done, but you decided to come in fellowship with us, the body of Christ. And it's our goal to be on one accord in the things of God, to hear the word of God and become hearers, not just hearers, but become doers. And as always, I'm glad about it. Tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Luke. Luke is one of the four chapters, one of the first four chapters in the Bible, and it's called the Gospel, which the Gospel means good news of Jesus Christ. Luke was a physician, and he was given the honor of writing the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. And our title tonight is, Jesus is Ready to Face His Destiny. Jesus is ready to face his destiny. Hallelujah. At this time, we always play a song, and I just want a song of praise. So, because we have so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, our adversities, our setbacks, we have so much to be thankful for, y'all. So I'm going to play this song. It's a melody of praise by Darryl Coley. And then we're going to come and go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to welcome. into this place. Lord, you are welcome into these broken vessels. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, so we lift our hands, we adore you, Lord, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up praise unto your name. Just reign, Jesus, reign. Oh, reign, Jesus, reign. You're the King of Zion, and your Judah's lion. So reign. That means be Lord over everything, Lord, today reign. We say yes, we say yes, we say yes, we say yes. So reign, Jesus, reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, I hear the worshipers. I hear you. Come on.
You know, sometimes you just want to praise him. Sometimes you want to hear a song with someone with a good voice and singing a song, and, you know, they singing things of God. But sometimes you just want a song of praise. And that's why I played that song. And at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace. And at his throne, mercy can also be found. And if anyone would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. God is given the opportunity. If you would like to pray, you can. You know, we don't always have the privilege to pray openly all the time on different platforms. But this platform from its inception has always opened the door for anyone to pray. And I see that my sister Pam has pressed the one button on the phone and another sister. And tonight both of y'all are going to pray. So Pam, your mic is open.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come on tonight just to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Father God, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. Father God, I thank you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Oh, Lord, I pray that you continue to anoint her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Lord, I thank you for our Bible study, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray that you continue to bless this Bible study and bless each and every person on tonight that's just listening. I pray this prayer in the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much. Another caller, you press the one button. Your number is 504-377-20. Your mic is open.
Father God, I come before you right now, Lord, in agreement, touching and agreeing with the prayer that has been prayed. And, Lord, I ask that you give Minister Diane a double portion of your glory, a double portion of your anointing, Lord God. Speak to her, Lord God, and minister to us, your people, Lord God, your children, Lord God, your friends. Father God, we just know that she's going to go forth, and, Lord, that she's going to give everything to us that you've endowed her with. So, again, Lord God, I ask and thank and praise you for adorning her and endowing her from on high, so that she can bring forth your word, Lord God, as you would have us to receive it. Touch our ears, Lord God. Open up our hearing, Lord God, so that we may hear what your spirit is saying to us, our church. For it is in Jesus' name I pray, ask, and decree. Amen.
Thank you. That's my friend, Sister Almeda McDowell. Thank you for those beautiful prayers. And really and truly, there's never too much prayer. One thing I've learned through the social distancing time set down with the COVID-19, that there's power in prayer. Power in prayer. So there's never enough prayer to go around. And if anyone else would like to pray, there's room at the cross for you. And you could pray at this time. Thank you again, my sisters. Well, it's time to get in the Word of God. The title of our lesson tonight is Jesus is Ready to Face His Destiny, Luke 22:39-53. Always, I like to do a little introduction or something. And tonight I want you to know that everything about Jesus is good news, and it's called the gospel. The gospel is the good news concerning Christ, which is our only way of salvation. I come to tell you that tonight that there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus. The word gospel literally means good news, and it occurred 93 times in the Bible, exclusively in the New Testament. The key to understanding the gospel is to know why it is good news. The gospel is the sum total of the saving truth of God's communicated, as God has communicated it to a lost humanity, as it is revealed in the person of his Son and in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. But you see, before we could appreciate all of this, that's the good news. What was the bad news? Oh, since you asked me, I'll tell you a little bit about it. You see, the sins of man can only be taken away by the shedding of blood of a perfect man. And God himself allowed himself to become the perfect sacrifice in the form of his Son, Jesus, the incarnation. You see, Jesus became the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world and allow the blood to be the factor that will take away the sins of the world. You need the blood. Blood has to be shed. In Old Testament, they sacrificed bulls and goats, and they shed the blood, and they burned it, and the aroma went up to God's nostrils, they say, and he accepted it. But the goats and the bulls and everything couldn't take away the sins of the world. God only instituted that until a more perfect way through his Son would come. So the blood of those sacrificial animals only covered it up. But God made us a promise that one would come and die once and for all, and the blood of Jesus will take away all the sins of the world. You see, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You see, the good news gospel involves Jesus' death on the cross as a sin offering to fulfill the law's righteous requirements. You see, the gospel is the good news that we, who were once enemies of God when sin came into the world, God could not dwell and communicate with us one-on-one because we had a sin nature that we inherited from Adam. And we were enemies of God. But now we have been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ and adopted into the body of Christ, that we shall be called the children of God. And I don't know about all of you or any of you. Have you ever just sat down and said, I am a child of God? I'm God's child. Jesus died that you become a child of God. You got to know it. So I encourage each and every one of you, if you never say it, say it. And I guarantee the feeling that you're going to feel, it's going to be beautiful. And that's what we are, the children of God. The gospel is the good news because there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Sin condemned us. You accept Christ. Christ took away your sins by the blood of Jesus. So there's no condemnation. People condemns us daily for one thing or another. The way we look, we black. We poor, we Chinese, we this or we that. But the Bible tells us that there's no condemnation. And many times we condemn ourselves. How could a God like that love somebody like me? I'm not good enough. I don't pray good enough. I don't speak good enough. That's what Moses did, y'all, when he called him. That's what Moses did when God called him to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let the people go. Moses said, I stutter, condemning himself. I don't speak elegant words, condemning himself. My pronunciation ain't the best, condemning himself. I'm not learned enough. Condemning himself, but just as God chose Moses, that's how God chose you. And don't do as Moses did. Say, Lord, here am I, send me. God will provide the provisions. God's going to make the way. And things you maybe didn't know in the beginning, you keep doing it for God. God's going to show you how to do it. Hallelujah, y'all. And we're going to start in the verses at this time. I pray that you have your Bible. We're in the 22nd chapter of Luke. I'm going to start at the 39th verse, and I'm going to read the 39 through 41 at this time. And the scripture reads as follows. And it came out, and he came out, and went as he was not to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed. Part of the lesson is Jesus is ready to face his destiny. The setting where we at right now, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there with his disciples. You see, Jesus had just finished the Last Supper, where he let them know that it would be the last time that he would eat with them until it would be done in his kingdom. Jesus knew his time was at the door. And as I say, he was ready to step into his destiny. So he went where the journey had to begin, which was the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, Jesus did the Last Supper. And the Last Supper represents what we do today as communion. And when we take communion, it's for us to remember Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, suffering, bleeding on the cross. You see, the bread represents his body, and the wine represents his blood. Jesus did this with his disciples, and then he left and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He made his disciples aware that he would be betrayed by Judas. See, Jesus knew all of this, y'all. That's why we say they're sovereign. They know all things everywhere at the same time and have all power in their hand, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, he made them aware that Judas would betray him and that he would be denied by Peter. You see, this lets us know that nothing can take Jesus by surprise. Jesus knew the writing of the prophets, the laws, and the wise. He said, I didn't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He is now ready to face his destiny. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the local side of the slope of Mount Olives. You see, the Garden of Gethsemane is a place where Jesus often prayed. Watch this. And that's how Judas knew he would be there. I want to let you know people watch you and know your pattern, your good or your bad. And many times they use it to their advantage. They either use it for you and they can use it against you. You see, all 12 disciples was with him when he arrived at the garden. But he only took 3 of them with him to pray. Peter, James, and John. They were called his inner circle, as we would say today, his right-hand men. He separated himself from them and kneeled down to pray. That's where they're at in the Garden of Gethsemane. And look, Jesus said in the scripture, he said, pray. He didn't need them to pray. First of all, he didn't want them to pray that he didn't have to die because that was already ordained by God. And I told you, he's ready to step in his destiny. He didn't pray that he don't suffer because suffering was a part of the prophecy that had to be fulfilled. But look what Jesus asked him. He said, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray for yourself that you don't enter temptation. He know Judas was going to come with betrayal, and Peter was going to now deny him 3 times, which was all tricks of the devil. He said, pray so that you don't yield to temptation. He wasn't asking them to pray for him. You see, so I'm going to read 42. And 43 and 44. They say, he say, told him, pray. He said, Father, this is what he began to pray. So he began to pray. He asked them to pray. They go to sleep. But he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him for his hour. I'm saying that's not in the scripture. Strengthening him. And 44 said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as if it was great drops of blood falling to the ground. They didn't say he sweat blood, but it's as if it was great drops of blood. You got to remember that Mark, that Luke is the writer of this verses we read. And Luke was a physician. And Luke understood the agony that he was going through. And that's the way he decided to describe it. God sent an angel from heaven to strengthen him. So I want to let you know that Jesus knew what he was facing. And not only was he willing, able, and ready to do the will of his Father that had sent him. That was Jesus' purpose. Before the foundation of the world, it was ordained that that would happen, that Jesus would be the one. So he's not trying to change the game. But to see, he knew. See, Jesus was fully man and fully God. So in the fully man part of Jesus, Jesus could feel pain. He could feel betrayal. He could feel agony. He could suffer. He could be shamed. He could feel guilt of shame. How you think Jesus felt walking through the place with that cross on his back, with his mama looking at him? Remember, he was fully man, yet he was fully God. So Jesus knew what he was facing. He knew he was going to be handled as a criminal, shamed, beaten, and even crucified. More than all of that, all of our sins that he was going to take from us, he had to feel the result of those sins. He had to maybe feel the consequences of them, the agony of them, and he would take upon himself. You see, it is wet, the greatest wealth, the greatest weight upon him was the knowledge that he would soon bear a terrible trauma and taking the guilt of all of our sins upon him. All of the punishment we deserve, he took it. He took it, y'all. For my sins and for yours. You see, in summary, the sins of every human fell upon Jesus in a sense that he suffered as if he was guilty of every sin of the sinners in the world, as if he had committed the sin. He was going to also suffer in his body as he experienced a penalty due everyone because of the sins that they had committed, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. You see, the Holy Scripture tells us that Jesus did not sin. He was sinless. He was holy, hallelujah, and perfect. He knew that under this weight of sin that he and his Father would be separated. Remember, God cannot dwell in the sin of man. So when Jesus took the sins upon himself, his relationship with his Father was severed. It was cut in two. Jesus didn't want to be separated from his Father in a relationship that he had with his Father, because ever since he was with his Father. Because God just can't dwell within sin. And he was feeling at some point as if his Father had forsaken him. And thus he endured a form of guilt, just as we feel when we sin, which gave him sorrow for lost sinners. Not only he's taking the sins, the agony and stuff he's feeling for the sins, he's sorry that sinners even have to feel it. When Jesus asked, could you remove this cup? Not that he wasn't ready to face his destiny, but prayed for strength to endure it. That's the humanistic side of him, y'all. And God sent an angel to strengthen him. Luke is the only gospel writer to mention the blood sweat. because of his interest as a physician in this rare physiological phenomenon, and use it to describe the intense spiritual agony Jesus was suffering. You see, as powerful as Jesus is, he could easily have avoided all of this and simply disappeared. And we know that when he was on the cross, the nails didn't keep him there. You see, scripture says that they couldn't take his life, so he surrendered it. Hallelujah. Rather, he willingly chose to genuinely be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, so that he could truly pay for our sins and suffer a human death. They needed a human without spots and blemish, just like that. The requirements for the sacrificial animals was the same requirements for the man that would take away the sins and be offered on the altar as a sacrifice for mankind. And he had to suffer a human death. See, that's why Jesus was fully man and fully God. Verse 45 through 53. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleepeth ye? Rise and pray. Let you enter into temptation. And while he spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus and kissed him. 48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You know, that's what they call a kiss of death. That's truly a kiss of death. You see, when they which were about him saw what they followed, they said unto him, Lord, talking about the disciples, when they saw that Judas kissed him, and I guess the soldiers looked like they were ready to take him over, the disciples now began to speak, and the disciples said, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them cut off the servant of the high priest, and he cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed it. See, the disciples ready to fight now. One of them took their sword out and cut the man's ear off. But Jesus knew, and he was ready for his destiny. So Jesus healed the man's ear. Then Jesus began to speak unto the chief priests and the captains and the temples and the elders which were come to him. Be ye come out against a thief with swords and staffs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. You may not know this, but it was against the law for them to arrest a Jew at night. So they wasn't even doing it at the right time. You know, if we had a criminal today and they went to court and they said they arrest me at night, they'll probably say they had no, you know, find a loophole in it. But that's how they did Jesus. And then you see who came to arrest him. It was the chief priests, the captains of the temple, the elders. It wasn't the sinners or the Romans. It was his own people, supposedly godly people. He told them, when I was in the temple, you didn't tell me nothing. And now you come in the dark to take me over. You know you ain't right. You know, when Jesus asked them to pray, not necessarily for him, like I said earlier, but for themselves, because he knew the tempter, Satan, was seeking whom he may devour. And as he spoke, a multitude, along with Judas, and then in a book they got a scripture that says, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called a Passover. And see, when we open up, I say Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper. The Last Supper is also called the Passover meal. That scripture says, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Because everybody was in Jerusalem, because it was a festival that everybody had to show up. Because the Jews were scattered all over because of oppression, sometimes depression, and all kind of things. But they was all to gather back up at certain festivals, and Passover was one. Then Satan entered Judas, y'all, surnamed Issachar, who was numbered among the 12. See, I went back and pulled his scripture to let you see that Satan entered into Judas. He said, I got to get this Jesus. You know, Satan has always been trying to take over God. And you see, Satan was in a good position. Because if all of us had to save ourselves, we would die and go to hell and be in eternal damnation with Satan. So Satan knew if Jesus make it through and God grant him the power to take away the sins, he would be losing his possible demons. So that's why Satan is jocking so hard right here. You see, Satan into Judas, he thinks he's going to stop God, Jesus, by this. He's going to get him crucified and he's going to die. But that's not how the story ends. You see, Jesus, the devil was setting this up for the bad. But God turned it around for his good. See, God knew Jesus had to be arrested. Come on. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. So what the devil thought, that the things he did out of his three-bag trick wonder bag that I tell y'all all the time, that was going to keep Jesus from being the Savior and take away the sins of the world. You see, this lets us know that the multitude was, like I said earlier, chief priests, scribes, supposedly men of God, not the unbelievers. And they came by night, which was not acceptable in a Jewish religion. But they feared the reaction of the people. See, some people was into Jesus, and they didn't want to cause a riot. So they did it at night so nobody would see. You see, Jesus came up to kiss Jesus, which was a sign to let them know who Jesus was. Judas was selling Jesus out with a kiss, which he thought would be the kiss of death, and would receive 30 pieces of silver for his betrayal. That's how much money they paid for a slave, y'all. His disciples decided to fight with the sword, which they only had two swords. The two that had many, do the math. Before God could get them to realize, watch this, that this battle was not theirs. It belonged to God. Jesus was trying to get them to see, look, all of this is a God thing. I have to do all of this to fulfill a law. I have to get on the cross so that I could die for the sins. I have to be buried in a borrowed tomb. But oh, in three days I will rise. He said, so I got to go through this step. It's really ordained by God, and Satan thinking he's setting something up. But God using Satan's setup for his good. Peter was the one that cut the priest's servant ear off. Jesus said, ye thus far, as if to say, stop it. Enough is enough. Or now let's let the events take their course. And I'm ready to face my destiny, to fulfill the purpose that God has given me, which is a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. And I can say part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world because God knew that man would sin. And God knew he loved his people, that he would send a savior so he could still fellowship with his people. You see, the hour had come and the plan is beginning to unfold. Y'all seen prophecy fulfilled right before your eyes. Jesus then picked up the man's ear and healed it. Jesus was captured. And watch this. All of his disciples left him to face what was about to happen. Y'all, and it was because of fear. Now Jesus is alone. See, that's what he had to face too. He can't be with his dad because he's what he's fixing to do. And now all of his in circles and the 12 men he's been with for 3 years has left him. He's all alone. But yet he's ready, willing, and able to do the will of his father to fulfill his intended purpose. And you got to realize this is just the way that God playing it. Just like Jesus have a master plan, just like God has a master plan, and in his master plan, he designed the purpose of Jesus. God has designed a purpose for all of our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 say, I know the thoughts. God is telling Jeremiah, the prophet, to tell the people, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you an expected end. The same thing he's telling all of us, y'all. And we have to be willing and able and ready to do the will of our Father, just as Jesus did. And anything that God asks you to do, the provisions is already there for you to do it. He don't ask you to perform something you know is impossible. He never set you up to fail. He done worked all things out together for you good. Those weapons that form against you won't prosper because he's working all things out together for you good, because you love him, because you're his child. So we see that Jesus is ready to face his destiny. Jesus is ready to take away the sins of the world. your sins and mine. So we have to thank God for Jesus. And anyone who believes that Jesus is our Savior, accept him. Believe who he is and confess that you need a Savior. You see, people say you confess your sins. When you say you need a Savior, you're saying you know you are a sinner. If you wasn't a sinner, you wouldn't need a Savior. The Bible tells us we all fall short of the glory of God. And all of our deeds are as filthy rags. So we all needed a Savior. We had a sin nature that we got from Adam. And even though God has done all that he did and still doing things from it, didn't erase the penalty of sin, which is death. That's why people are dying today and going to die tomorrow and going to die the next day and the next day and the next day, you know, until the world is ended. People will die because of the penalty of sin. But what God did through Jesus Christ made a way for us to not to spend eternity in hell, but get a chance to spend eternity with God. So your choosing Christ is what determines where you will spend your eternity. So today as I close, I say choose Christ and live. And when you think about Jesus, all that Jesus done for us, why wouldn't we want to serve him? Why wouldn't we try to please him? Why we sit down and think we could do it like we want? We could deal with the things of God when we want, if we want, how he wants. Come on, y'all. Who put you in charge? You can't even take away your own sin. But Jesus laid down his life for us. And we put God and Jesus on the back burner so much. Tell you, and I ask you today, choose life and live. That's our lesson for today. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anything you would like to add? Any praise report of the goodness of Jesus in your life? You could press the one button, and I'll turn on your mic. The way we live and be, it's all God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God is taking care of you. God is waking you up in the morning. God is allowing you to breathe. If you have a job, to go on your job. If God take your breath away, then you wouldn't even have a job. And we got to be about our Father's business, and only what we do for Christ is going to last. And if no one have anything to say at this time, we could have our benediction. God is so good, y'all. My benediction is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. God is really calling us, y'all. God really wants us to grow in his grace and his knowledge. Now and forevermore. We should be growing a little bit every day. Come on, y'all. If there was a little baby and he was 7 years old and he couldn't walk, you would say something was wrong with him. But to say you accept Christ so long ago in your life and you're still at the same level where you were then there's something wrong as well. See, we're changing every day, and there's a book that says growth No, it says change is inevitable, but growth is an option. Choose to grow in the things of God. And just as Jesus asked the disciples to pray, it wasn't so much that he needed prayer. He wanted them to pray for him. So as you grow, it's going to help you. That's it for today. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next week at the same time on Wednesday night. Until then, everybody be blessed. Go in peace, and God be with you till we meet again. Good night, everybody.